and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our discipleship pastor, Tim Icoangeli.
If you have your Bibles this morning, if you want to turn with me to the book of Amos in the Old Testament. Amos in the Old Testament there. It's a shorter book, but you'll find it. If you go to your table of contents in your Bible, you can look there to get there quicker. I want to share just a couple things quickly about Amos. Amos was a simple man. If you look in Amos chapter 1, verse 1, it says that he was basically a shepherd. He was a herdsman. He dealt with livestock, and that was something that he did. But yet, God came to Amos and spoke to Amos and called him to speak to important people within Israel. And it was a tough task because he was not trained. He was not set up to do that sort of thing. And so when people would look at him, they didn't see a prophet. They wouldn't see necessarily a man of God. What they would see is a shepherd, just a blue-collared type of guy. Something that we in our area call ourselves, blue-collared people. So I would guess Amos is somebody that most of us would look at and respect, that we would understand, that we would get. Amos, though, could be one of the first prophets, honestly. Depends on where you date him. Some people date him after others, but some people put him first. But what Amos was dealing with within Israel, and this is really what I want to use to set us up to our passage, is within Israel, there was a lack of true worship taking place, and there was a lack of justice taking place. Now, if you would have walked into Israel in this time, you would have said everything is going good. They had a good king at the time. The Lord was blessing them. So financially, things looked good. Things were steady. Things were under control. They were actually worshiping the Lord. They were observing the festivals and doing the things that God had called them to do. But the issue was that their heart was not correct in worship. Their heart was not right in worship. And so the Lord would use Amos to speak to Israel about it. Also, Israel was not addressing the surrounding cities well. They had no justice for them. They had no mercy for them whatsoever. And so the Lord would address his nation using Amos. Now, I think Amos has some things for us today as well when we look at the church and where the church stands. And honestly, I think if we could take a broad stroke of church in general, we could say that we suffer from a lot of things that Israel was suffering from at this time. Yes, worship takes place, but is it really true worship? Yes, we speak of mercy and we speak of justice, but do we really do those things, and do we do them well, and do we do them for the right reason? Is our heart really where it needs to be as the church, as the body of Christ? I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would say we probably struggle with that, maybe even as individuals. I know God has shown me areas of my life where I needed to give more justice or more mercy, and where I struggled with that because of whatever. Could even just be upbringing. Could just be, oh, that's how I was raised. Well, that doesn't mean that I was right, right? It might be something that I need to deal with, and I need to let God's word speak to that. So when we get to Amos chapter 7, Amos has already done a lot of speaking, but in Amos chapter 7, he has two visions in verse 1 through 6. The first vision is of locusts, and they're devouring the crops, but the king gets his crops out before anybody else, and so the king has food, nobody else does. king has income, nobody else does. Amos prays to the Lord and says, Lord, please do not let this happen. And God actually makes sure that it doesn't happen. He listens to Amos' prayer and it doesn't happen. Then he has another vision. It's a vision of fire consuming the sea and the land. And it's reminding us that God is a consuming fire. And we see God's wrath there. But once again, Amos gets on his knees and he prays to the Lord. And the Lord relents again. And it doesn't happen. And it doesn't take place. So then we get to chapter 7, verse 7 through 13. And this is where I want us to camp out this morning. And so look along with me as I read Amos chapter 7, verse 7 through 13. It says, thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive from their own land. Then Amaziah said to Amos, go, you seer, flee to the land of Judah. There eat bread, and there prophesy, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the royal residence. I pray that God will use his word today. I pray that we'll hear from his word the truth, and that we'll be convicted by it, but also grow closer to him. I don't know if you know exactly what a plumb line is. I think this is a way that we can tell that Amos was a worker, because some of you who have high degrees, if I were to say, show you a plumb line, you might say, I have no idea what that is, because you work in a cubicle, maybe, and that's what you do. Maybe you're into that kind of thing, which is great. I always tell our students, if I'm ever with our students and we drive by people and they're out there digging, I say, you go to college to not do that. You see that? That's why you go to school, or else you're gonna be out there. Nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong with that work, but that's why you go to school, is to get out of that. But a plumb line is what is mentioned, and I have a plumb line here in my hand that my father gave me. I don't use this ever. Probably wouldn't use it well if I tried. But a plumb line is something that is used to determine if something is straight, to determine if something is set to the standard that it needs to be. So for example, you know, if I wanted to see if this cross here was straight, I could lay this up and determine if it was how it should be. That makes sense? It's pretty easy. And so what Amos sees here is Amos sees the Lord standing on a wall that was made with a plumb line. So we understand that this wall is straight. The wall is made how it should be. And that the Lord is standing there, and he's standing there holding the plumb line in his hand. Now, the interesting thing about a plumb line is that this plumb line cannot lie. It's not going to lie to me. When I set it down, and if I have the string right, like when I first got it, it had a knot in it. That wasn't correct, so I took the knot out, made every effort to make sure that this would work how it's supposed to work. And if I drop it down, and this weight is how it's supposed to be, and there's no magnet in it, it's not going to be drawn anyway, guess where it's going to drop? Down. It's going to drop down, straight to the ground. It's not going to lie to me. And if I look at this plumb line, and I could say, you know what? This thing's lying. Who's the one not making sense there? Me, not the plumb line, not the instrument, not this thing. And so when we see this plumb line being represented, we got to understand that it is a standard that is being set that is perfect, that doesn't lie, that doesn't deviate. And so we must ask ourselves, why would God give this vision to Amos, and what does it mean for us today, and what did it mean for them in that day? What is God's plumb line? What is being talked about here? Well, God's plumb line, Scripture teaches us, is God's perfect standard. And the verse that has been just going on in my head over and over and over again as I've been looking over this is John 17:17. It's a very small verse, and it's a verse that I hope that you will put in your heart, because it's a prayer, I think, that we should pray every day. It says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So this is God's plumb line. This is God's standard. God's standard is his word, the word that we have, the Holy Bible. This is God's plumb line. This is the line that lays before us to determine, are we straight? Are we built how we should be? You see, God's plumb line never changes. Just like that plumb line, that instrument there that I put down, it should never change. It's going to hang just how it's supposed to hang, and it's not going to move. Gravity is forcing it to go down to the ground, and that is a nice, perfectly straight line. It's not going to change. And God's word also never changes. In Numbers 23:19, it tells us God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? You see, God has a standard of measurement, and that standard of measurement is his word. And what he makes very clear in his word is that that word will not deviate. It will not change. You will not wake up one morning and God say, yeah, I tweaked that a little bit. I've tweaked it because I didn't like how it was working. See, God doesn't work that way. A lot of us work that way. A lot of you cooks, I'll mess with the cooks, I guess. A lot of you people who cook, you tweak it, don't you? So much so that your family says, Mom, that was awesome. Can you make that again? And you say, no, I can't. You know, and you make it the next time, you're like, something just isn't right. And it's because while you were working, you were tweaking it, you were smelling it, or you were tasting it, and you were determining some things that need to go in. Our God does not work that way. He has laid out a standard, he has laid out a plan, and it is perfect, and it is the plan. It is the standard. Now, the issue that we're facing today is that many people, have tried to live to some moral standard. But what we are seeing, especially now, is that morality changes. We cannot make the standard of our society morals because morals change. To this person, that certain thing is perfectly fine to do. But to me, it's not. Well, who's making the standard? Well, what we've taught ourselves now is this: I'll make my standard, you make your standard, and we'll be happy about it. But what we're running into is we're finding that our standards butt heads. And so something is gonna fail eventually. Something's gonna fall short. As Christians, our standard must always be the same. It must be the Word of God. And now where we get in trouble as Christians is sometimes our standard, we label it the Word of God, but really what it is the law of God, and that is our standard. And so we become very legalistic, and we try to teach people rules. We try to teach people obedience. We try to teach people how they must live. And when they fall outside of that standard, we get frustrated with that. Or we do that to ourselves. We say, this is how I must live. And when we fall out of that standard, we kill ourselves. We get frustrated with ourselves. We get angry at ourselves because we're not living within that standard. But we come to this point where we become very legalistic in our life. Sadly, some people have put the standard to be political. This is the standard. If you want to be a Christian, this is where you must fall. This is what you must be politically, right? Or this is what you must be, and you name whatever. The problem is those things change. We need a standard that never changes. And the only standard that never changes is the Word of God. And so we see the Lord God standing on the wall that he had built perfectly, holding his plumb line in his hand, which is the perfect standard. As we go through Scripture, we see that God uses his plumb line perfectly in all instances. And I lean on Charles Spurgeon for these things. But in one sense, you think about God building things. God has built things, and he's built them perfectly using his plumb line. We could talk about creation, and we see how God created everything. We see this in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 2, and how he created everything. And the way that he created is he just spoke, and he spoke things into existence. And when he spoke things into existence, he would then say, and it was good. Meaning, and it was perfect. God created the way he created, and he did it perfectly. That's something that astounds me about science. I'm interested in science, and when you start to get to the exact details of how exact things are in our natural world, with the planets spinning and the speed and the closeness to the sun and the moon and how far away that is from the earth and with cells and all these different sort of things. And I've had so many conversations recently with teens who are struggling with creation and evolution and how that goes together. And I've just been astounded of how swayed they've been, because after I talk with them for about 5 minutes, it becomes very clear, I feel, to say, how can you say that somebody hasn't put this in order and put it in order so very perfectly? Because his plumb line is perfect. Because his plan is perfect. When you look at yourself and you look at the fact that God has created you, and you would say, well, man, his plumb line got messed up then. Right? It wasn't falling straight that time. No, God created you exactly how you needed to be created. Some of you say, well, I've got these disabilities. And well, God knew that. And you're still loved by him, and you're still made in his image. And he made you well. And he made you lovingly. And he cares deeply about you. And he loves you. And he made you perfectly. We look at his church, and God has established his church, and we see that in scripture, and we can say all kinds of rough things about God's church. And you go through history, and you can just be astounded by, those were Christians? Those were so-called Christians doing those things? But yet it's amazing to see how God has used sinners to form his church. And yet still, 2,000 years later, after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, the church is still going. How we can go into places that we would say have never heard the gospel, and we get there and we find out that the gospel is there and it's actually doing well. It's doing very well. And that's because when God creates, he creates perfect. And then we've also already talked about his plan and how he built his plan, and it's going perfectly. But God also uses his plumb line, and he uses it perfectly in measuring. God measures man with his standard. And this is something that you and I both need to hear today. We are being measured up by God's standard. Not your standard, not my standard, or not somebody else's standard. You see, the fact of the matter is, if people were come to judge me and they were to look at my life, there really is not much that they can judge me on. They would say, man, you've done it well. I've never been one to cuss. I was saved when I was 7. I was raised in a Christian home. Never did drugs. You know, never drank alcohol. Never been wrapped up in all these sort of things. You say, well, you're up here bragging. No, I'm not up here bragging. What I'm saying is, when the outside looks at Tim, they would probably say, you've met the standard pretty well. You're doing pretty good. But the fact of the matter is that when I measure myself up to the standard that God has set before us in his word, I fail miserably. I fall way short. I cannot even see the starting line. I'm so totally separated from God in my sin and in my behavior or in whatever you want to say that all I deserve is God's wrath, because I simply do not measure up to that plumb line. I'm crooked as can be. I'm not as straight as it. And you are too. And you know it. When you look at your life and you measure it up to this book and you read it, you say, man, I don't even come close to that. Really? You want me to do that? You want me to obey my parents that way? You want me to honor my wife this much? No, I can't do that. And you're right, you can't. But that is God's standard of measurement. That is how it must be. Some of you work in situations and scenarios where your boss comes in and they say, need this done, and I need it done by Thursday. Go. And you're sitting there saying, never. That will never happen. All this work cannot be done by Thursday. But what do you do? Maybe your company cuts some corners. Maybe you start tweaking some things so that you can make it fit in and get it into Thursday. Or all of a sudden the deadline is pushed back. Well, we'll push it back to Friday. Or we'll push it back. Or how about you work this weekend? We'll get it done by Sunday. Whatever the case might be. God's standard just doesn't waver that way. You can't push it back. You cannot expand it. You cannot change it. It is what it is. And we stand before God as he drops that plumb line and measures us. We stand there very guilty. Because you and I both know that we fall short of that standard. And so God doesn't only use this plumb line in building. He doesn't only use his plumb line in measuring. But here's the scary part. God uses this plumb line in destroying. Because the Bible tells us that on Judgment Day, God will use his plumb line to determine who's guilty and who's not guilty. And so some will be sent into a place called hell, and some will be spent to have eternal life with him in glory. But we must measure up to the standard. We must measure up to the plumb line. Romans 2:12 says, "For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law." And so we will stand before God being judged based on the law. And that's a scary thought. Because we already talked about how we all fall short of that law. There's no way we can measure up to that plumb line. It's not going to happen. We can try our best to measure up to that standard. But we both know that we fail. So how do we respond to the plumb line? How do we respond correctly to this thing that God has laid before us? Because if you look at verse 10 through 13 that we read in Amos chapter 7, the king of Israel did not respond well. What did he do? The plumb line was set. It was brought before him. This is what must be done. And the king decided, I do not like that standard. Therefore, the one who's giving me that standard, how about you leave? How about you get out of town? How about you go to a different nation and talk to them? Because that standard will not fit here. He sent them out. He pushed them away because he was not willing to measure up to the standard that God had laid before him. Oftentimes, we do not like the truth. I don't like it sometimes. You don't like it sometimes. And we know very well that the world does not like to hear the truth. And so we push it away. And so we bend the standard. But I want to share some very good news for us this morning. And I'm praying that there's somebody here this morning who will hear this for the very first time, and God will prick their heart and show them the truth of his word. Because I hope some of you are sitting here this morning right now petrified. Literally scared to death, knowing that I do not meet God's standard. And on Judgment Day, I will be one that gets sent to hell because I do not meet his standard. Well, I have good news for you today. One has come who has met the standard for us. God, in his great grace, knowing that we could never meet up to that standard, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to meet the standard, to fulfill the law that we are held by. And then he would go to a cross to die for us, for our sins, in our place, to meet our standard. When we deserve death, when we deserve hell, when we deserve punishment, Jesus took it for us. So that when we face God on Judgment Day, the plumb line will be dropped. And some will go up to that plumb line and they'll find out, man, I'm a crooked mess, and they'll try to wiggle their body to be straight. They'll try to use that sharp tongue that they've used their whole life to talk their way in. And God's going to say, you don't meet my standard. Be away from me. But then those of us who've been saved by the grace of God, we will walk up to that plumb line in all of our crookedness, and we'll say, God, I don't deserve this one bit apart from your son, Jesus Christ, who I trust has met the standard for me. And that is how we will then hear, you will be with me forever then. That is the standard that we met. There's no other way. We can't say, well, I did this and I attended church and I taught Sunday school and I did these different things. God will say, that's good. You filled some of the rules, but you didn't fill them all. And you never really trusted in Jesus. Be away from me. You see, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, Jesus talks about this. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." See, what is Jesus saying there? Jesus is telling the people they're listening, and he's telling these scribes and these Pharisees who think they're holier than thou, he's telling them, listen, I am the standard. I am meeting the standard. You cannot do it apart from me. Trust in me, and the standard will be met. Trust in me, and God will have mercy on you and pour out his grace on you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, it says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, a living stone," catch this, "rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." God is building a foundation, and it's his church. It's his kingdom. And the starting stone, the very first stone that he laid in the kingdom, is Jesus. And he got out his plumb line, because Jesus is the word, it tells us in John chapter 1. And he laid that cornerstone down perfectly. And what stands there for us today is this: do you trust in that stone? Will you put your life on that stone? Is Jesus the one you've trusted everything on? Your whole everything? If not, then that's just a stone you're tripping over. And you're tripping over it on your way to hell. But if you've put your life on that stone, then you have set your foundation on the only true foundation that was laid perfectly. Some of you today haven't done that yet. You have not trusted in Christ with your life. You're waiting for something, or you're just unsure of it yet. My prayer is that today God will open your eyes to the truth of his word, that Jesus is the only foundation that you can put your hope and your trust in. Have you honestly trusted your life in the life of Jesus? Or are you like this king of Israel, who instead you continue to say, "Get away from me. I've got other things I want to do. Get away from me. I got a different standard in my life. God, your standard seems ignorant. Your standard seems unlivable. Your standard seems unreal." And so you continue to push him away. Today, the only true standard is Jesus. Some of us today are believers. Some of you today, you know you set your stone on the cornerstone. You know that when that plumb line is dropped, you know that God has met that standard for you through his son, Christ Jesus. But I gotta ask, are you really striving every day to honor the Lord by being holy? By still trying to live to the plumb line, trying to live by the word of God? Again, not in a way that's legalistic, not in a way that is saying, "I must follow these rules in order for God to love me." No, but following these rules because God loves me. Because God has done this for me, I want to strive to be the man that God wants me to be. I want to strive to be the woman that God wants me to be. Are you honestly doing that? Are you trusting in God? God's word. Each day are you crying out, God, sanctify me in your truth. Your word is truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 through 9, where we were supposed to be today, but Pastor Roy will preach it next week, Paul tells Timothy, he says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But listen to this. This is the good news of that passage. But the word of God is not bound. Paul was standing there, strapped to a soldier, not able to go anywhere, but he would pen the words, listen, I might be strapped and bound, but God's word is never bound. And believer today, do you believe that? Is that holding true in your life? Is God's word a wellspring of everlasting life in your heart that is pouring out in people around you? Do your kids, does your wife, does your husband, do your family members see that God is continually doing a work in your life? Are you excited to sing these songs of praise to the Lord? Or do other things whet your whistle a little bit more? You see, although Jesus has met our standard, and we're so thankful for that, our job as a Christian is to obey God with everything we have, is to serve him with everything we've got. Today, you may feel stuck, unable to move, but God's word is not chained. God's word is not chained today. It cannot be stopped. God's word is a force that simply cannot be put aside. God's word, it says, will not return to him void. His plumb line is perfect. I hope you take great hope in that. I hope you get encouragement from that. Amanda and I were watching a movie last night, and it was about these missionaries and people just dying for the sake of the gospel. I mean, it was people who really, it was like villages, whole villages just being killed because of their faith. But yet they would stand and say, I will not denounce my faith. And from the outside looking in that, you almost feel like, what a waste. Don't you? A little bit. You're like, just say you don't believe and then go on believing and tell other people about Jesus. What's it going to hurt? I'll tell you what it hurts. It hurts everything when they denounce it. Because then what we're really saying when we do that stuff is we're saying, God, you need me more than this world needs your truth. Because the truth is you are real, even if they're going to kill me. But you need me to go and tell more. You know that's not true. God's word is not chained. It continues to go out. His plumb line is dropped. It stays the same always. The question is, how are you going to respond to it?
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.